This train fills the temple. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy is the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to sing that one more time, but as worship was going on, you know, and the Lord just brought me back. I know how, the Holy Spirit's amazing how he can bring things back to your remembrance. I played, you know, as I told you before, I grew up in this area, and I played Pony League Baseball not too far from here. Mosier, as you go up, everybody familiar with Mosier Lane? Sarita Vista Park. I played Pony League Baseball long time ago. Long time ago. That's Pony Leagues is when you're middle school, entering high school area. And I just remember playing one game. I was on a team called the Royals, and we were playing against the Mets. And I remember my father coming to the game. And there's something special about when your dad comes to the game. And we were playing, and I remember getting a hit that game, a double. That helped position our team to win the game. And it's amazing that Lord would take me back, because my main point is like that my dad was there. And he would come to a lot of my games, but he just brought me back, a mile or two, not too far up to Mosier Lane, up to Sarita Vista Park. But I believe that's what the Lord wants to say to us, that our dad is in the house. God is in the house, and he's watching us with love, and his banner is love right now. And maybe we can do something, a smile, or whatever we may do today to help defeat the enemy, help defeat sorrow and depression, help give hope. So I got that image. So I want to sing that song again. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up. And his train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up. And his train fills the temple. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy is the Lord. Praise God. So, Lord, thank you, Father, that we can see you in our midst now. We can see you. We want to focus in on the Lord. We want to bring down every vain imagination, everything that would vie for our attention, and let us see what you have for us in your word. So let's turn our Bibles, amen, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. As we consider, how many have been enjoying the book of John? It's good to go through the book of John. It's special to come out of the book of John. Think about a friendship you may have with a person. I was at a memorial last night for a good friend of mine, pastor friend of mine. His mother passed a few weeks ago, and even before I met this lady, I met him, and he would tell me all types of stories about her. Never saw her face to face. That's what I always tell people. I say, you're like Jesus. They say, what do you mean I'm like Jesus? I said, I heard a lot about you, and I read a lot about you, but one day I'm going to see you face to face. And so in meeting my friend, he would talk a lot about his mother, came from the South Alabama, and shared a lot of good stories with me. But one day I was able to meet her face to face and see her serve in God's kingdom. But the analogy is that when we read the book of John, John was the closest disciple to Jesus. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about all the people in the world, all the disciples. So if you want to really get to know somebody, you know, like that old famous saying, if you conceal a secret from a friend, you deserve to lose them. If you really want to get to know somebody, go talk to somebody that's close to them.
you don't have a chance to talk to them, we don't have a chance to talk personally to Jesus. The Holy Spirit downloads to us about Jesus. But I'm saying that John, when you go through the book of John, and you don't get a chance, if Jesus is not here in the flesh, when you read out of the book of John, you're talking about the one who was the closest disciple to him. Have you ever thought about that? So when we look in the book of John, you're getting it straight from one of his closest friends. And we're his friends now. Okay, John chapter 12, we're going to read verses 20 through 26. It says, now there were certain Greeks among the feast who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip came and told Andrew, and turned Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, the title of my message today is When Will I See You Again? How many are familiar with that song? When will I see you again? When will we share precious moments? Will I have to wait forever? Will I have to suffer and cry the whole night through? When will I see you again? When will we share precious moments? Are we in love? Are we just friends? Or is this the beginning? Or is this the end? When will I see you again? And I believe that's the mantra. That's the saying for the church right now. That's the saying in our lives where we are. That's the saying for in our text right now. When will I see you again? This is a question that the disciples had as we get into the text. Later on, we'll see in John 16, when you get to John 16, that the disciples had many questions. Jesus is getting ready to leave. And then he'll say, you'll be sad, because in our worship today, we talked about joy. You'll be sad for a few days, but then you'll have joy in a few days. What does that mean? What does that mean on God's calendar? You know, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. When he went to the cross, they didn't see him for a few days, and then they saw him again through when God sent the Holy Spirit. Is he talking about when he comes back to receive the church? So there's just a lot of questions that the disciples were having. Maybe there's a lot of questions that you and I have right now. Not just when we're going to see him physically, but when are we going to see him move in our families' lives? When are we going to see him move in our schooling? When is he going to move in our business? When is he going to move in the calling that he has in our lives? So this might be a question that we're asking the Lord right now. When will I see you again? When is God going to make a statement in my life and say, this is God? When are miracles going to begin to happen again in the church? When is God going to do something that the world has to acknowledge? When will we see him again? In so many different context and venues, we want to see God do a work again. And so in verse 20, it picks up by saying, now there were certain Greeks. There were certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast. And when you think about Greeks, you think about Gentiles, or you think about how Greeks are proselytes. You think about Gentiles who have made converted over to Judaism. Or they were just plain, they were just Jews who spoke Greek. There's many different scenarios of certain Greeks coming to worship at the feast. And at the time, this was the Feast of the Passover. This was the Feast of the Passover, and many people would come into the area, and the Greeks came and to the feast, and they necessarily couldn't eat the Passover meal unless you had been circumcised. Okay, so a lot of times I have groups that I meet with, a group called Q Place, and I have different people who come, and they don't necessarily want to get into the Word. They don't necessarily want to, like how we having a feast right now in the Word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, is that right? But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is a feast that we have every Sunday in the Word of the Lord and in worship and in the Word. And a lot of times people come for different reasons to church. We don't know. We don't know exactly why people come to church, but only God knows. And it says that these Greeks were coming to worship at this feast. And in verse 21, it says, they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. So I want to ask you something. We're going to go I want to talk about questions. Matter of fact, when you think about the song, When Will I See You Again, it's probably had the most questions that a song, 26 questions that a song has had, especially in the R&B world. Everything was a song. So what is the question? I want to ask you, what is the question? What is the question that you may have right now in your life? Do you have any questions? I always go up to people on the street and I say, if you can ask God one question, what is the question? If you can ask God one question and you knew he would answer it, what would it be? What would it be? And this is a question that you know, everybody responds to. Some people will say, I don't have a question for God. But whether they're atheists or agnostics, they come out and they say, I have a question for God. Again, I may have mentioned this before, but I was on a plane going to Chicago one time, and a lady next to me, she was not a believer, but her question for God, she was an artist. She wanted to know, what was God's favorite part of creation? Have you ever thought about that question before? If God is the creator of the world, if he's an artist, well, what part of creation is his favorite part? That's what I said, human beings. But for a person who's not thinking on the human being level, they're just thinking on, you know, the creation-wise. So that's a good question, but you're right. There was a song that came out years ago from the Winans. It says, the question is, will he ever leave me? I mean, familiar with that. The question is, will God ever leave me? And they emphatically say no many times. When will Jesus return? But getting back to the text, it says in verse 21, their question, if you look at Message Bible, they want to know, when will we be able to see Jesus? We want to see Jesus. How many want to see Jesus? How many want to really see Jesus? Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And you and I are like Philip. We're like Andrew. We supposedly the world right now, again, I have these groups where unbelievers come to the groups, and they come for all types of different reasons. Some of them don't come to see Jesus. Some of them come because they like, we have icebreakers. Some of them come because they like the humor. It's very humorous, our group. Some of them come because they like the entertainment. Some of them say they come because they like to have philosophical discussions. Remember, the Greeks sought for wisdom. The Jews sought for miracles. 1 Corinthians 1 says that there's a people who seek after signs. But then the Greeks seek after wisdom and reason. Okay? And so we don't know. It's just a lot of conjecture right there. We don't know. We don't have the full insight of why people come for certain things. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. But this is something that we should be saying in our heart. I want to see Jesus. Again, I tell you, in the Hollywood field, and a lot of times I do security, and I've had thousands of people. I've done this job for going on 19 years and met a lot of famous people. And they always, their famous question to me is, I want to see that star on the show. Really, that's part of our job. You know, people come in throngs and they want to see. I've met and worked with one of the most famous actors and athletes of this generation, okay, on the set. And so people come, and so a lot of times Hollywood says, just tell them it's a mayonnaise commercial. Because people are curious. Okay? And so here you have the Greeks and the disciples. They're the security on the set. Hey, man, we want to see Jesus. Jesus is famous. He's popular now. He's like really famous now. He's doing miracles. He's doing signs. And so we want to see Jesus. And then in verse 22, it goes on to say that Philip came, following verse 22, Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Now, they probably came, why do people come to you? Why does God send certain people to you? Now, Philip and Andrew, those are Greek names. You never know why God, never know why you're in the position you're in, or the job you're in, or the experiences you've had in life, or why God will send certain fish, he'll send certain people to you. Our job is to be ready to give an answer to everybody that God sends to us. But in this context, these guys, again, John is just letting us know that Philip and Andrew, which are Greek names, but they understood that it wasn't time for the Gentiles yet. Remember when Jesus sent them out, he said, don't go to the Gentiles. You're going to be sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But the times of the Gentiles are not now. So this is probably what's going on through their mind. Here, the people are coming now. Here we're getting a microcosm view of something, of change that's getting ready to happen in the kingdom of God. If somebody begins to come into this church today, some strangers from the outside, they just walk in here, and they might not necessarily be a believer, but they're neighbors around here. Are you ready for that? We're going to wonder, well, what do you want? Well, we want to see Jesus. Can we show them Jesus? That's our job, to show Jesus to the world. It's not to just bring them to church. It's not to have nice sermons and worship and all that. But out of that context, people should be able to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit should be pulling back the veil, because people can't see Jesus because there's a veil. The God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't see who Jesus is. That's the job of the enemy. And so our job is to pull back the curtain. Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to pull back the curtain and to show people a glimpse of the other world. That's what Hebrews 6 says, that we're able to taste the powers of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. Why is it so important to get the Holy Spirit? That's like getting the password to the age to come. When we look at our phones, we got to get a password. So when you get the Holy Spirit in you, you're able to get to chime into the password of the other world that's real right now. That was pretty good, wasn't it? You guys can relate to that. And that's what we do. Is everybody all right? Are you tracking with me? Okay. So what is God seeking? Now, we look at verse 23. It says, but Jesus answered him, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And so we see that we don't know if the Greeks got a chance to really see Jesus. Again, I'll go back to the analogy. I've mentioned this before, but I remember doing a Reese Witherspoon movie. And there's a double. They have doubles for every movie. And I was talking to the devil. If you look up Reese Witherspoon, everybody's heard of Reese in here, haven't you? Okay, very famous lady. And she had her double, and I was talking to her double, and her double was telling me how they met and different things like that. And a lady said, well, was coming, and she was just, oh, there's Reese. And it wasn't Reese, it was her double. If you look up Reese later on, and they'll tell you about her double. Her double looks exactly like her. No. Doubles, the job of a double, they got different stunt doubles, body doubles, photo doubles. There's different types of doubles. But this double, they try to get somebody that looks exactly like the actor or the athlete or the actress or whatever. And that's they hire them for that. And that's what she does. She looks exactly like her. Out of the doubles in Hollywood, she's really a double. I mean, you know, chime in later on and look. You can look at it. Don't do it now. but my point is that she thought that was Reese. And I kept telling her, that's not Reese. That's just her double. She said, oh, no, she took a picture. I'm going to go back and tell my family. Well, did you know that we're doubles for Jesus? He's not here. Has anybody seen Jesus lately in the flesh? Hey, did you see Jesus?
Not in the flesh, no.
Yeah, you see? No, not in the flesh. But how is the world going to see Jesus today? Well, like Reese, God hires doubles. Christians are to be like Christ. And so people have to see Christ through us to where they go back and tell people, I saw Jesus today. Did you see the Jesus? No, I saw Jesus. Where'd you see him? I saw him through him. This lady, even though she was so excited. I said, lady, that's not Reese. But she looked so much like Reese that she took a picture, and she's probably to this day, that was a couple years ago when I did this, to this day, she's probably going around people, she saw Reese. And she didn't. But that's how God wants us to be able to see. When people see you, they ought to be able to see something redemptive in our lives to where, because this is what the world is saying right now. They want to see Jesus. But sad to say, this meant that the Jewish leadership a lot of times didn't want to see Jesus. They didn't want to see him do what he was supposed to do. And I'm saying, Lord, how are we in the church right now? You have the world right now who's maybe ready to come into the church and to see Jesus, but are we in the church? Do we really want to see Jesus? What do we really want to do? So it's a challenge to us. Verse again, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now Jesus is telling his disciples this, that this is the time that I'm going to be glorified. Whether the Greeks could hear this or not, whether they got a chance to see him or not. A lot of times the text doesn't really let us know. But God is seeking, he's wanting his disciples to become worshipers. That's what he's seeking for. The scripture says that, what is God seeking after? He's seeking after those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. I think about these video games now. How many have ever been hooked on video games? I appreciate. You got to be like a child to enter the kingdom. You just made my day. Honesty. But I think about, I was hooked on them back in the day, okay? And I was hooked on a lot of things that got my attention. But when we talk about God is seeking after worshipers, he's seeking after people. Before you can worship something, you have to see it. And the reason why a lot of times Christians aren't worshiping God, because they haven't seen him. They've come to church. They've gone through the ritual of church activity, but they haven't had a chance to really see him. And to worship something, a video game, sports, a girl, a boy, a man or a woman, whatever it may be, You have to see it first. Is that correct? It has to get your attention. So the question is, God, the question is, when you see him, you have to see him. See, the Greeks haven't had a chance to see him. See, that's why God, that's why the scripture says that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. So what is he seeking for? He's seeking after worshipers, that's us, that's his church. But the church, if the reason why the church is not worshiping God, because they haven't seen him. Because everything that I've worshiped, I saw it. Is anybody with me? So I'm asking a rhetorical question, that is, why, if I'm not worshiping God right now, if you're not worshiping God right now, Lord, my question to you is, Lord, let me see you. Unveil yourself to me. Show me a part of you. We can't seem in all, but Lord, show me something that will cause me to worship you and serve you. And this is what he's saying right here, that the hour has come, that I'm going to be glorified. But the Greeks were saying that you need to spare yourself. Greek philosophy says spare yourself. No, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a very natural analogy. And go in your backyard, go in your front yard, and you can see it, how many green thumbs we have here, that part of it's in nature, that unless a corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So we have to, Jesus is saying that if we're going to have glory, if you're going to see me again, I have to die. If we're going to see that fruit, it has to die, and it comes up a beautiful plant. Look at the caterpillar, the metamorphosis process. It has to go through the crushing process. It has to go through the ugly process. It has to go through a very vulnerable process to metamorph and produce something. Has to die. Reminds me of that joke. About a 100-year-old woman got a birthday card from the local funeral home. You heard that one? and so she wasn't impressed though. She wasn't impressed. You know, they got a, you know, why wasn't she impressed? She said, well, because you only want me for my body. I mean, you only want me because of my body. But we're talking about, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. And it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so what time is it? It's amazing because John has his head just chopped off. He's the leadership of the church at the time. John is the man. But the leadership, the head, and we're not just talking about symbolically having your head cut off, but the leadership is the head, and it's cut off. And there's an interim period. If you look around the world right now, there's so much persecution going on right now. I mean, there's so many countries that have outlawed Christianity, 50-plus countries. North Korea is number one. Been for like the last 17, 18 years. Somalia. I mean, even if you could, if they consider you a Christian, they shoot you. Some are being shot, even if they consider this. You got Afghanistan. You have all types of things. And we're talking about at the time John, who gets put in prison because he's rebuking somebody for, you know,
what's this guy that's with his brother's wife? You know, ministers are rebuking people because of their sexual lifestyles. Now they're getting subpoenaed to go, here in the United States, getting subpoenaed to go to jail, different things like that, if you've heard those things, because preaching out on homosexuality or different, dealing with those type of issues. So we're in a tough time. But the worst of times can be the best of times. They go hand in hand. Because you look at verse 15 and it says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so what time is it? Well, it's time for a great invention to come forth, if you want to bring it down to that level. It's time, they say, necessity is the mother of all invention. You know, the new iPhone is out right now. I mean, think about that. We talk about, you know, I think it was the 26th yesterday, it was supposed to, but they moved it up. And it's been, you know, they announced it weeks ago, but it's something about new inventions. Because there's a necessity and a need for it, that somebody in their brilliance bursts forth something new in the earth. A Steve Jobs, a Rosa Parks back in the day. When there was a need to fly, there was other people who tried it but didn't get the patent on it. What is needed in the earth right now? With all the suffering going on, with all the persecution that's going on, we need the right people, we need the right person at the right place at the right time to birth something of some type of deliverance and source of making things easier for people's lives. This is what technology does and will continue to do. But now we're talking about the kingdom of God. We see what takes place here. The time is fulfilled. What's fulfilled? And the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, I have this phone in my hand right now. And some of you, your youngsters right here, you don't know what payphones are. He said, what? How many know what a payphone is? She don't even know what payphone is. But there was a day when we had to go. Did you ever use a payphone? How many have used a payphone in here? Okay, see? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did you use a payphone? Okay. Yeah, okay. So tell them what to pay. No. Anyway, there was a day when we had to use payphones. And we weren't suffering. I mean, that's what, at that time, that was cutting edge technology in our day. He said, but, you know, what we do? Get off the freeway. Then they had pagers or something where, you know, somebody would page. Doctors still use pagers. But they had pagers and. But then the cell phone came. The time was fulfilled. The cell phone came, and it did away with the payphone. There's still payphones around our nation right now. There's a couple of thousand payphones still around. More than that. And New York has a lot of them. Places like Yosemite and areas like that. They're still companies buy them. They're still using them. We've always talked about Netflix. There was Black Blockbuster. You had to get out of your nice, comfortable, warm home and go to Blockbuster and go get a video. What a lot. That was suffering. A lot of suffering. You had to get out of your house, out of your warm, nice, cozy home and go to Blockbuster. And hope that's more suffering on your mind right there. Yes, and that's how Netflix got started. Well, that's what they say. Reed Hastings had an Apollo 13, and he got like a $40 type. And that's what it says. I don't know how true. I have to talk to Reed. Scott knows Reed. They met before. And so, but out of that, something was created to where we have Netflix now where it's at your hand. It's right there. But the time was fulfilled on something like a block. Now, getting back to the text, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Oh, for so many years, so many sacrifices had to be made to get right with God, to atone for the sins. Once a year, a guy would get would go into the Holy of Holies, and hopefully he was right, or he would be pulled out. And for a whole year, the Day of Atonement, a whole year, that nation was felt like, okay, we're all right for another year. Everything's good. But think about all the sacrifices, the animals, the bulls, the goats, the lambs. I mean, they get sacrificed now because of all our restaurants now. So we're still doing the same thing. You know, all the fast food and all the restaurants, all those animals are still being sacrificed in a different way. But it was, religion was so hard back then. Even today you have to have so many rituals, and people have to go through this litany of things, and you have to do this and do that and do this. It's so hard. We need something new. We need new technology. We need access to dictionaries. You had to go really, really study the dictionary. And then this thing came. These things came. Made it a lot easier for mankind. We're talking about here, what time is it? Is that the kingdom is at hand now for you young folks who never experienced a payphone. Is that when it says the kingdom is at hand, it's like in your hand right now. It's at your desktop computer. It's in your games you play. It's at hand. And the password is repent and believe. You got Wi-Fi here, you got a password. If you just repent, if you change your mind about God and about the kingdom, you will see, you will have it in your hand. You will see the Lord. You will see your Heavenly Father. He will reveal himself to you. You will have it right on the desktop. You can carry it wherever you go. You got the password to heaven. It says, but you have to repent. Instead of sacrificing animals now, and sacrificing goats, and going through all these rituals that our ancestors did for generations, now there's a new invention called the kingdom of God. It's not a new invention, but it's new to us. It's nothing new under the sun. It's just recycled. It's just said different, but now it's the time for Christ's kingdom, and it's time for you and I. How many want that password? All I have to do is repent. Repent means to change your mind. Repent means for the Holy Spirit to come and change your mind. And God wants that same allegiance like you have in the video games or that people have in different things that get their attention on the internet or sports, and we're Sunday. Football. Many men will, I was one of them for years, going to sporting events and just, they have my attention, everything at the game. The game, the cheerleaders. Come on. Men and women. Pornography. Come on. It has people's attention. But God, by his Spirit, wants to come. He's holy. I see the, and to see God. But people need to repent. And what do we repent of? Don't turn to it, and I didn't have it on here, but this is the scripture. Because remember, it's in your hand, so it's in my, God will put it in your spirit that quick. We can get that knowledge that quick. 1 Thessalonians 1 says it like this. For 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, for they themselves declare unto us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So if the kingdom is at hand, and I got the password, and I can get in there, and I can see. God can show me his sign, wonders, and miracles. He can show me the who he has for me in a mate. He can show me my future. He can show me that I have eternal life when he opens that kingdom to me. What a glorious thing that is. That's way better. People think the best thing going is the internet right now. It's the web. It trumps that by 1,000 times when you get into that, when you get that password into that. It's the greatest invention ever known. And so many people are left behind, especially in the church. Disgruntled Christians never enter in to the new thing God has for them. And then the Greeks, the new people, whom that's why Christ had to die. He told the people of his day that Gentiles were going to get in before the so-called people who were Abraham's children. He said that. He said in Matthew 8, it says, because the Roman centurion, real quick, turn to Matthew 8. I know it's not. Password is repent. Remember, repent and believe. Change your mind. Let the Holy Spirit convict us. Let the Holy Spirit say, hey, this is the direction we need to go. This is what, you know, we need to make up with. People we need to make up with. People we need to forgive. Things we need to lay on. The Bible says that we're not even to enter to our ministry sometimes without, we got to go and make up with people, then offer our gift unto God. Matthew 5, it says that. But Matthew 8 says, 8:10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say unto you that I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But it says, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness, therefore both weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is that saying? The people who had the first opportunity back then, which were on the outside, and the people, like we're in this context, like we've been talking about, the Greeks or the Gentiles or the unbelievers will come in and reap the benefits of God. Let's turn to Esther 4, 12 and 14 in closing. So my question to you are we willing to serve? Are we willing to serve? And I think that we have had to answer all those other questions, though. We've had to answer all those questions. Because once you get in the password, and God's Spirit connects you to his kingdom, not Google, we're talking God. Once you're connected to that, oh, wow. What an amazing life. All the boredom leaves. You see church differently. You come to church differently. Because you have the password and you're connected to the God of the church. You're not just connected to the church. You're not just connected to Bethel, which means the house of God. You're connected to El Bethel. It means the God of the house. You got password to God. The living and true God. So if you come to church to just to do the rituals and are not connected to the God of the house, oh, this is boring. The other stuff I see is a lot. The games I have, the sin I do, all this other stuff is a lot, it has my attention. But when you get connected to the God of the house, it trumps everything else this world has to offer. You see everything differently. That's what repentance is. I see things now. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see clearly now the pain is gone. So my question, and I know it's time to close, but how many people want that password? See, we have it right here. We want that password. And that's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that in a couple minutes, that Lord, boy, there's a lot of wonderful things in this world. But to be able to connect with your God, the one who created you, the one who knew you before you was in your mother's womb, the one who made every human being, the one who made the world, and to be in touch with him and a daily relationship with him, not a bunch of rules and regulations, but he's at hand. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how many are willing to serve? That's my question. Because we're going to leave today saying, Lord, I want to serve. I was at the memorial last night, and a friend of mine and his mother passed. They came from Alabama, and she had 5 kids and no husband, and came from Alabama, and they were just children and grandchildren just saying great things about her, how she came here, and I think maybe in the 60s, had a job as a waitress making $2 an hour. How do you raise 5 kids and a job as a waitress where the hamburgers weren't that really good? $2 an hour. And maybe had some other job that was making not too much more. Was able to raise her kids in a nice middle-class neighborhood. God provided. She was connected to God of miracles. This is what we're talking about. That when you're willing, she was willing to serve her family and not renounce God and to serve God. But because she had the password, she had access. Maybe in the natural, it didn't look good. But she had access to God. I've shared this before. I remember when I started youth ministry, my outreach ministry got started. I went up to a high school campus and said, can I just pick trash on you? I just want to pick up trash on your campus. You know. And the principal, through that, he opened the door. We need religion on a public high school campus. I was able to have a club on campus, able to do a lot of things, had access to the kids. Through that, God opened the door to do ministry, Cal, Stanford, other colleges, because I started picking up trash on a campus where they said church and state, it couldn't happen. But when you're connected and have the password, miracles happen like that. Are we willing to be in a position just to serve? Said earlier, working for a security company, putting on a security uniform. I've been able to meet the greatest people of this generation in Hollywood and in the sports world. Because a little security guard on the set that God has placed there, and I get a chance to witness to people and share the gospel with many people. This is what it's talking about, serving. Sometimes you have to take serving. You be the waiter or the waitress, and God brings the people. But are we willing to humble ourselves? The greatest act of service was God becoming a man. He stooped down to become a human being. He humbled himself. And not just, but even the death on the cross, because back then was not even a death for Jewish people. He even humbled himself more just to serve us, to lift us up. Okay, let's look in closing. We're going to read Esther 4, 12 through 14. Because my question is, why have you come to the kingdom? It says, so they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? See, you couldn't see the king unless he extended the scepter out. Now we're talking about King Jesus now. It was forbidden. But you and I have the opportunity, the scepter's being put out today, that we can see the king, that we can see God, that he can open up this whole new type of living, whole new type of future, so I'm going to close in prayer, but if this has resonated with your heart, I know it's resonated with my heart, because anytime somebody gives a word, that word is for that person. 1 Timothy 4 says that through preaching, 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So we're going to pray. And I saw the hands that went up. But God has given us the password right now. Repent. Whatever situation is going on in your life, God, help me change. Say the longest journey in the world is 18 inches from your head to your heart. Lord, take the bitterness and make lemonade out of it. Take the unforgiveness and make it into a ministry of forgiveness for the nations. Whatever little thing that's resonating or that's negative in our spirit that won't allow us to have the connection, something's wrong with the connection, the password, to where God will open. It's like God creating a whole new world just for you. Think about that he would do that. He did it for Adam. He'll do it for you. But all it takes, it doesn't take a whole bunch of sacrifice. Or, Lord, am I good enough? No, it just takes receiving the password. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And Lord, we want to see you again, because it says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:8 says, the pure in heart shall see God. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you come and allow us to repent. Allow us to change our mind, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to repent and continue to repent, Lord, years ago, that you allowed me to come in your kingdom, that you didn't allow me to die or to miss out, Lord God, on some of the things you've allowed me to experience, Lord. It's like a caterpillar, Lord. If they can just hold out until their change comes, until that change happens, they turn into this beautiful butterfly. And I'm saying that, Lord, let everybody here who may be living a caterpillar experience, that may feel low and down in their lives, in their families, in their marriage, in their raising their children, in their jobs. Lord, even suicidal thoughts, Lord God, try to come to your people, Lord. Depression spirits, Lord. All these different things, Lord. We can look like we're doing well, Lord, on Sunday, Lord, but you know what we do on Monday. You know what we do the rest of the week. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you download to us, Lord, and allow us to see you again. Allow your church to be excited about things in the kingdom of God, the itinerary of God, and bless this church and bless your people. Let miracles come forth in our families and, Lord, in this church. I pray for this church, Lord, that you're going to do great things. That it'll be a witness to this neighborhood, and that people will want to walk in and see the God of the house. In Jesus' name, amen.